Hi everyone, this is entertainer and educator Jen Abels. Go ahead and put that cruise control on as you venture down the road to rediscovery with your incredible host, Aubrey. You are not going to want to miss this episode.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on the road to rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. If you wish to connect with The Road to Rediscovery beyond the weekly episodes, I want to personally invite you to follow our Road to Rediscovery Facebook page. That's right, we are a collective positive vibe of 815 followers and growing, chock full of thought-provoking, inspirational quotes, posts of positivity, solo and guest video shorts, and more. There's something for everyone on this page if you're seeking motivation and inspiration. Just search for page R2R Podcast while on Facebook, select it, and click follow. And while you're there, if you feel you would recommend this show to someone, please click on the reviews link to share your thoughts of the show. Again, the name of that page is R2R Podcast. Thank you in advance for growing the page. And as always, we are truly, truly grateful for your listenership. From fitness trainer to mental health mentor, my special guest has built and sold a thriving fitness business in Manhattan. And today, he is the founder of Mindset Empowerment Coaching, specializing in helping high-achieving professionals overcome self-doubt and turn challenges into opportunities for growth and success. Let's give a warm welcome to Mr. Michael Shaw. Michael, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here, sir.
Thank you so much, Aubrey. It's my honor to be here. I just want to let you know how much I appreciate this space that you've created. Not just for the focus on overcoming adversity, but also for encouraging reflection, growth, and the deeper meaning behind the struggle.
Well, I truly, truly appreciate your thoughtfulness with this, Mike, and thank you for that sentiment. Because in so many spaces, I mean, you know, we hear words tossed around almost like punchlines and catchphrases, you know, reflection, boundaries and so forth, but we want to get down to the root cause and peel those layers off to get to the true essence and meaning of these things, right? And people who are in need of these to improve their mental health and the great work that you do to help others, we really want to unpack that and share what that looks like for the listeners. So we are equally thankful to have you here, Michael. So from fitness trainer to mental health mentor, your professions covered the body first, right? And now the mind. Start us off by just telling us how you got into fitness and what inspired you to pursue helping others with their mental health.
Well, so I got into fitness way back into the fitness as a career way back in 1994. After graduating college and spending a couple of years just trying out different jobs and what have you, where I really hadn't found my place. And that was when my boss at the time actually said to me, you know, you really seem to love training and working out and you know so much about it. You help everybody here. I think you really should look into becoming a personal trainer and following fitness as a career. And that was back in a time when, like, you know, personal trainers weren't even a thing yet. Maybe some celebrities had some, but, you know, so I dove into that and I really loved the studying just to get certified and learning everything I needed to learn just to get certified. I was always very intrigued by how to maximize your performance in anything with the belief that what one person can do, another person can do. You just have to have the blueprint to follow. And I just dove headfirst into that career and got my first job as a trainer, making $12 an hour, which meant my first week I made $24.
Oh my!
I had one client who came twice a week, and I wouldn't leave the studio and I wouldn't leave the side of the owner until I knew everything about the business. So a year later, I became the head trainer. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, I left and went out on my own and built a roster of clients in Manhattan. And a year after that, I went back and bought the business that I once made $12 an hour at.
Amazing. A full circle moment, no doubt, right?
Sure.
Coming from humble beginnings of your first the first money you make and for one client for 2 hours. And before you know it, you're buying the company that you first started. That has to be tremendous for sure. And definitely a pick me up for you, but you're also helping a lot of people address any physical issues, I guess, that they're having, regarding their body and so forth. You were a fitness trainer before fitness trainers were cool. So let's talk about that transition over to the mental health or the mindset state.
Sure. So, after, almost three decades in the fitness business building, I actually ended up selling that business and then creating a new one. Mm-hmm. And I had that one for 15 years before selling that one. What I realized was, hey, I have clients who've been with me for 15, 20 years, paying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year to go to the gym. Mm. And you know what? It's not because I count sets and reps better than anybody else. It's because I connect with them on a personal level. And really I was as much their mental coach as I was their physical coach.
Yeah.
So that was part of my transition to where I am now, where my focus as a mindset coach is helping people break through mental patterns that keep them stuck.
Right.
And while my methods are rooted in positive psychology, I often draw on the life lessons I learned walking through the fire to get where I am today. What I mean by walking through the fire is for years, I played the role of the overachiever, building businesses, competing in intense sports, chasing success like my worth depended on it. But underneath all that drive was trauma, anxiety, and a lingering sense that no matter what I accomplished, it was never enough. And believe it or not, my turning point didn't come from a victory. It actually came during a complete emotional collapse.
Oh my.
The persona that I had built to survive could no longer carry the weight of childhood trauma I had never fully faced. Mm. And that was the moment that everything changed, where the real work began, where I had to heal old wounds, rewrite my inner narrative, and learn to lead from strength, not survival. And that journey led me to become a coach, to create the Mastery Mindset Library and the framework that helps people rediscover who they are and how to live with peace, clarity, and purpose. And what I can tell you is one of the most pivotal moments came in 2008 when I was completely blindsided by betrayal. My fiance cheated on me and left. And in a flash, I lost my home. I lost my sense of family. I lost my sense of self. And the stability I thought I had as a father. And I remember sitting in an empty room and asking myself, how do I rebuild a life I didn't see coming?
Right.
I had to learn how to trust again, how to forgive without forgetting.
Yeah.
And how to show up for my kids while I was still healing. But that wasn't the first encounter with, it wasn't my first encounter with emotional upheaval. I grew up in a home marked by domestic violence. And as a child, I took on the role of protector, what I now recognize as a hero complex. And so when my father raged, I stepped in to save my mother. And that kind of wiring shaped everything, my relationships, my self-worth, and how I handled pain. And then later, as a father myself, I faced a different challenge, which was supporting one of my children who was struggling with anxiety and depression. And this time, I couldn't be the fixer. I couldn't be the hero. All I could be was the witness. Because I couldn't solve it. I could only be present, which is very, very hard. And that experience taught me the deepest kind of compassion, which is to walk alongside someone without judgment, meeting them where they are,
right,
not where I think they should be.
Yes.
And all of these experiences became the foundation of the work I do now, which is helping people move through fear and move through their anxiety and self-sabotage with practical tools that actually transform how they see themselves and how they live. And this rebirth that I've had for myself has very, very recently led me to taking one of the most meaningful steps of my life, which is where just a couple of months ago, I became a living kidney donor to my daughter's grandfather.
Oh my goodness.
And that wasn't just a medical decision. It was a personal declaration that I now live in alignment with my values, not my wounds. And you see, Aubrey, rediscovery isn't a moment. It's a way of life. It's a journey back to your soul. It's the ongoing practice of returning to who we are beneath the pain. And that's really why I'm so grateful to be here, to share that journey and to honor what it means to come home to yourself.
You know, Michael, this is absolutely mind-blowing that you're explaining here. And I want to thank you for your vulnerability and being quite candid in these struggles that you've had earlier on. As you mentioned earlier, these methods in which you teach are the foundation based on the struggles that you've gone through yourself with, you know, betrayal and helping your daughter and your children, you know, deal with anxiety, depression, and so forth. One of the things you mentioned that completely resounded with me was almost like a paradigm shift, a mind shift that you said you had to make for yourself as you got older. And that was lead for strength, not fear.
That sure
is absolutely profound. Can you break that down for the benefit of the listeners and what that shift meant for you?
Right, right. So yeah. So what I said was to lead from strength, not from survival. Strength.
Yes, survival. Right. Thank you. Right. Not fear.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right. So if we don't address our trauma and start to recognize how a belief system built in ego, okay, yeah, is what's fueling us, then what that does is that keeps us on that hamster wheel, on that treadmill, which is you're always chasing something and you're not feeling fulfilled, and that's a survival instinct. Okay. So you also heard me mention alignment.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm living in alignment with my values, not with all the pain that I've gone through.
Yes.
And that's really the key here. It's a simple answer, but a very complex process. Because the goal for everyone, no matter what your struggle is, no matter what you're suffering through, the goal for everyone is to face their trauma, right? Because their trauma came early on, called a psychic break. Okay.
Right.
And from that, that's the point where your ego steps in for the first time.
Okay.
And your ego steps in to protect you from whatever that trauma is. And the trauma can be simple. It could be as simple as you were an only child receiving all the love and attention from your parents, and all of a sudden they bring a new baby home. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden you're not getting all the love and the attention that you're used to.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does your ego do? It tells you one of a few things. Well, if I do really well in school, my parents have to love me, right? They have to give me that attention. If I do really well in sports, I'm going to get that attention, and it might come from my parents, it might come from the coach, it might come from my peers, but I'm going to get that love and attention.
Yes.
Okay. Now that belief system works at that time. So you repeat it and you become an overachiever. Like I said, I was
It's
fueled by my trauma. Right. So you're chasing, okay, you know, that worked for me before, it's going to work for me again. And before you know it, this belief system grows from a place of ego, which is a place of darkness. Okay. And 3 decades later, you're like, how come I always end up in the same place? How come I feel stuck? It's because you're repeating patterns and you're using a belief system that no longer serves you because you're 30 years older now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, so you have to go back, you have to address the trauma. And when you address that trauma, this is the work that I do with people. One by one, we address each belief, and usually we do a belief a day for 30 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you examine the belief, and if it's no longer serving you, you thank the belief for having served you, and you toss it aside with love because it did serve you.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we rebuild a new belief system. Think about it this way. You're in a boat. Each belief can either help that boat float or it can weigh that boat down. If you keep a bunch of beliefs that are weighing you down, you're going to sink.
Right.
Okay. You can't get anywhere. So once we do that, we literally have a rebirth, a reawakening with your new belief system, and you now can create your I am declaration. Okay. And that's a list of maybe 10 or a dozen statements declaring to the world who you are, how you want to show up. You see what I'm wearing here? It's my I am, right? Given to me by a coach that was very, very near and dear to me.
Yes.
Okay. Once you have that I am declaration, you can pinpoint your 4 or 5 or 6 core values.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you have that, you walk through life with clarity and confidence because you know every decision you make, every action you take is in alignment with those values. So you don't have to second guess yourself. You now it helps you make some very hard decisions. And for some people, this means, you know, they come out of this and like, holy shit, I want to live in a different part of the world.
Right.
I'm in a relationship that's just weighing me down and sinking me.
Yeah.
I'm in a job I don't like. Do you know how many people I work with who tell me one of their values is autonomy and entrepreneurship, yet they work in a 9-to-5?
Really?
Okay. That is not behaving in alignment with
your values.
They didn't even recognize that that was a value. They just, right, until we did this work.
That's an amazing example, Michael. And that's that is as clear and as articulate as anyone can explain what it means to be in alignment with your beliefs.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I'd like to, in light of that, okay, just chat a little bit about self-awareness and accountability, right? Because I heard you mention earlier that when we keep trying the same things and we keep falling short or failing, and we're asking ourselves, why do I keep finding myself in this rut? There has to be some degree of self-awareness that has to take place in order to kind of, you know, take inventory, right? And go back and revisit those beliefs that has served you in the past. And we're creatures of habit, right? If it serves us, we're going to keep doing it.
Right.
But something in us, even when it doesn't work out, compels us to keep doing it. And, right. And I don't know. I mean, first off, what drives that? And then if you can maybe explain the importance of accountability and self-awareness to, you know, to come to terms with saying and admitting that this no longer serves me.
Sure. Well, what drives us is, number one, the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Okay.
It's called routine. Mm-hmm. And how many people tell you they're stuck in a rut? They're stuck in their routine. Okay. Yeah. Also, what happens with that routine? Well, you know, we'll go back to that example of the person in the job when they really want to be an entrepreneur. Well, they've got a family, they've got a mortgage, they've got car payments, they've got college payments, whatever it may be. How do I quit my, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's all piled on.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and as far as accountability, absolutely everything comes down to self-accountability.
Yes.
Okay. I learned long ago, I would much rather find my level of accountability and my role in anything I'm facing, any adverse situation, versus throwing the blame completely on someone else. Because right. If I can recognize my role, I can fix that. If it's yes. External, I have absolutely no control.
Mm.
Okay. And, yeah. And if what you just heard me say, the hidden gem in what I just said was in any adverse situation, I didn't say any problem. And I right. did that for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. You know how most coaches and therapists give you strategies to help you with your problems. I look at it completely differently. One of the biggest shifts I've made and that I now help clients make is rooted in this one core belief. There are no problems, only perceptions. Mm. And I know that might sound bold, but just hear me out.
Okay.
This idea first hit me during my breakup in 2008.
Okay.
I was sitting in Washington Square Park, which is just outside NYU in New York City, for those of us that aren't from New York. Mm-hmm. And I was completely paralyzed by fear, anxiety, and the weight of everything I thought I had lost. Mm. And I remember clearly watching hundreds, thousands of people walk by, and they're laughing and living, completely unaware of the emotional collapse I was having inside.
Right.
And it hit me that if I'm the only one feeling the weight of this problem, and I put problem in quotes, then it has to be something that I created.
Mm, yeah.
Not in a blame yourself kind of way, but in a power yourself kind of way.
Yeah.
That realization became the lens through which I began to see everything differently. What we call a problem is often just a situation that's stretching us, that's challenging our current thinking and yeah. testing our resources, mm-hmm. or exposing the fact that we're not quite ready yet.
Right.
But when we slap the word problem on it, we give it this weight. We create emotional resistance.
Yeah.
We trigger fear, paralysis, and avoidance. So I just started reframing. Instead of calling something a problem, I ask, is it a challenge? Is it an invitation to grow? Is it a mirror showing me something I haven't yet owned?
Right.
And that simple shift changes everything. Problems feel heavy and overwhelming, like something happening to us.
Right.
challenges are active. They're solvable. They invite engagement. And when you stop asking, why is this happening to me? And start asking, what is this trying to teach me?
Yeah.
We unlock a whole new level of clarity. And this mindset didn't come from a book. It actually came from the gym.
Mm.
I spent years as a bodybuilder. And one thing I learned through training was that your muscles don't grow from ease or from rest. They grow from resistance.
Yes.
And we used something called periodization, where we purposely increased the resistance right after we hit a plateau, mm-hmm. because that's when the growth happens. So I started to see life in the same way. Financial stress, relationship conflict, emotional burnout, that's yeah. all resistance training for your mind and your spirit. Mm. And I asked myself, if I can embrace stress in the gym as a necessary part of growth, why wouldn't I embrace it in life in the same way? So now when a client comes to me and says, I feel stuck, I don't just throw them strategies or mindset tips. We slow down, we unpack it, and we ask, what's the specific challenge?
Right.
What muscle mentally, emotionally, relationally needs to grow?
Right.
What outdated belief or pattern is this exposing? And we take what looks like a problem and we break it down into three things: a pattern, a perception, and a plan. And from there, everything starts to shift.
Mm.
So for example, instead of I'm failing in my business, it becomes I'm being invited to grow. Maybe I need a new level of strategy, discipline, or courage.
Right.
Instead of I'm lost in my relationship, it becomes this might be a moment of realignment. What's no longer serving me?
Right.
And that shift from victimhood to agency is where all the power lies. So consider this reframing exercise. Think about the biggest problem in your life right now. What if it's not happening to you, but for you? What if it's an opportunity to take the next step in your evolution? Which of your muscles is this challenge trying to develop? Right. Because once you name the lesson, the problem starts to lose its power.
Mm. That's an extraordinary exercise. And I think, as you said, with what you've learned conceptually in the gym, where muscles grow from resistance, it all applies. It applies to the mental side as well, just as you explained. I mean, and reframing and revisiting how you view a situation that may not be, say, the most favorable, but you know, it's presenting a challenge to you. It's stretching you. That to approach it in such a way to where it's an opportunity to grow and look for areas in where it's trying to develop you. To me, that just says a growth in mental toughness all the way around. You know, you're growing your mental toughness. Is that close to what we're saying?
Yeah. The word that will float around for that is resiliency.
There you go. Resiliency. Absolutely.
Right. But yeah. When you combine that with the work we described before, and you're yeah. you have your declaration, and you have and you're in alignment, mm-hmm. and you're operating with a belief system that serves you, it becomes second nature. It becomes, mm-hmm. what people have told me throughout my life is, I'm like a cockroach. I cannot be killed.
Yeah.
I can walk through any fire. I can walk through any situation.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what we call wisdom, right?
Yeah.
As we get older. But you know, it's always so much more comfortable and nicer to have a guide, to have a mentor.
Yes.
You know, and that's who I'm able to become for other people through this line of work, which is why it's just so rewarding for me. You know, I've competed as a bodybuilder, as a Muay Thai fighter, as a triathlete, as a Spartan racer, you know, and as an adult, you know, all in the last 20, 30 years, and now even as a tournament level poker player. Mm. And the common thread in all of those was I started each of them as a complete amateur, as a complete beginner with no idea how to do any of them.
Yeah.
But with each of them, I always picked a goal, you know, with bodybuilding is I don't want to just lift and grow. I want to compete on stage.
Yeah.
With Muay Thai fighting, it was, I walked in, I kid you not, my first day, and I said to the guy, and I was 50 years old at the time, I want to learn how to fight, but within a year, I want to compete. I want to be in the ring fighting. And I even went to Bangkok and trained for 2 weeks there in a total immersion training. Same thing with the triathlon, same thing with poker. And the thread is, if you have a structure to follow, if you have a guide, if you can, because it's really hard to look at the end goal and then it seems insurmountable. It seems impossible.
It does. Yeah.
But if you have a step-by-step blueprint to follow,
yeah.
Okay. It's just take that one tiny step first. And like I said, build on it. Success, build. Mm-hmm. And that really, when you grind my mindset mastery framework down, you know, what we do is we walk through five key phases, okay? Call them five pillars.
Okay.
As we already described, we revisit the break. That's number one. We begin by revisiting the moment of primal trauma, the psychic break, where you were transferred from the light of your love of your soul into the fear and fragmentation of ego. And that moment created the protective identity and outdated belief system that you've been operating from for years.
Right.
Second is what you mentioned before, awareness, mm-hmm. right? Recognizing the unconscious beliefs and protective patterns that are driving your actions. Okay.
Right.
Third is a rewiring, challenging and replacing those outdated beliefs with ones rooted in your now chosen identity. Then we have the alignment, as we described, declaring your values and building a life that reflects them. And finally, we have activation, creating daily habits, boundaries, and systems that support your best self. And when we do this work, we don't just stop self-sabotage. We unlock a version of ourselves that's clearer, stronger, and the most deeply fulfilled.
Wow. I mean, and at that point, Michael, it sounds like at that point, we're just humming like a well-oiled machine. And if a setback happens again, we know how to approach it. We know how to reframe it. We know not to view it as a problem or give it that weight or that connotation, right?
You know what it feels like? They don't even feel like setbacks. Do you remember the scene from The Matrix when Keanu Reeves gets it and the bullets are flying by and he's just bending and they're flying by him? That's what it feels like.
Amazing.
Because they're not problems anymore. They're not weighing you down.
Yeah.
It's just comes in and you take it in. And what's in front of me? What's this trying to teach me? What's this challenge? Yeah. What's my first step?
Yeah.
And it's that oxygen mask that comes down when they describe when you're on a flight.
Right.
You have to put yours on first before you can help anyone else.
100%.
You've got to do this work. You've got to get to this place where you just know this is called living your best life.
Right.
Okay. Yes. You know that because you don't want to be having this internal struggle all the time. That's the drudgery of getting up and dragging yourself to a job that you hate, or dragging yourself home to a situation you hate, to a place you don't want to be, to a person you don't want to be with.
Right. Right.
And the hardest part in relationships like that is because you haven't done the work, you don't have the confidence to tell yourself it's okay that I don't want to be in this job, or it's okay that I don't want to be in this relationship, because you don't trust yourself because you haven't made your declaration and you don't know what your values are.
Yes. Yes. It almost sounds as if the complacency of just staying in that situation is worth it more to someone in that mindset than it's not worth risking the uncertainty.
Sure.
To pursue what you are truly meant for.
I have a client who, after he'll constantly complain.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss solutions and we'll discuss all these things we've been talking about. And he comes to a point where he says, well, I have a tremendous capacity for pain. That's his mantra. Mm. And that's what keeps him going, which is horrible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing to be proud of.
But it's right. But like you said, it's everyone's hanging on to something that's keeping them stuck. And, you know, I say this from the bottom of my heart. I am literally the happiest person in the world. I have the most wonderful relationship with my wife and with my children. We have this incredible life where we're just happy. Mm-hmm. And happy doesn't mean that you never have a struggle.
Right.
Okay. Or you never have a challenging situation. It just means you know with every breath that you're in the right place, you're with the right person, you're doing the work that fills your soul. Okay.
Yes.
Right. And that you're leaving an impact and your imprint on the world.
Yes. That's happiness.
That is happiness.
Yeah. Amazing. One thing you were talking about almost kind of like with your client and his mantra about, you know, high threshold for pain or however you phrased it. I find that surprising, but everyone's different, right? And so the reason I find it surprising, Michael, is because the very things that you've broken down for us in how we go through an exercise of reframing, how we go through an exercise of taking inventory to try to identify what has served us before, what no longer serves us, and what muscles are being stretched when we have this setback. I mean, all of these things that you've packaged really nicely for us to help us overcome. As a byproduct, it sounds as if that gravitates us away from victimhood, you know?
Absolutely.
And it also seems like when someone has a problem and they need to seek help, professional help, the help of yourself and what you can provide, okay, there is a balance one must strike in explaining what their problems are, okay, and not letting it be their story, or not letting it put them in a victim seat, you know, sure. Because you have to explain where your problems are to get the help, but even if you have to do it multiple times, but you don't let it define you, right? You don't fall victim to that when you're saying this. Is that right?
Right. So when we're in the process, remember we don't have problems, right?
Yes.
There's no such thing as a problem. So right off the bat, the first thing I do is say, well, what's your goal?
Yeah.
Where do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I say, what are the obstacles standing between you and achieving that?
Mm-hmm.
Just that conversation alone, no one's a victim here. That creates the agency, because now we're going to look at those obstacles and say, okay, what's the first step to getting over the first obstacle?
Right.
Now we're moving forward.
Yes.
Immediately, we're moving forward. Okay. So you're putting down that bag of bricks that's been weighing you down that you call problems or beliefs or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And By the way, this is the key to things as serious as addiction. Okay, you can go through the 12 steps from here to eternity. Okay, until you address the trauma that activated your ego that led you down the road to the addiction, you haven't fully addressed it. All right, so you've put a super strong Band-Aid on it.
Yeah,
but you haven't, and that's why you find many people either slipping from their sobriety and
relapsing and all that, yeah,
or replacing one addiction with another.
Yes,
because you haven't gone to the root source. So it's, but the work itself is so fulfilling, mm-hmm. and it releases you. It's like taking your handcuffs off, unwrapping the chain that's been holding you and weighing you down.
Yes,
it really, it's work. Okay, it's work, but you start to look at everything again is not something that's happening to you. Say, you know, they bring you all these problems, but immediately we get into what am I doing? What is my proactive step?
Right.
You know, so it's no longer something happening to me.
Yes. It's happening for
me. You.
Yeah.
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 And I know that's until we get into it, that's a hard concept to understand, you know, because whatever it is, it feels like it's happening to you, but right. That's because you're looking at the external cause. You're not looking at your accountability.
Yes. Okay?
And again, if you can see where you are in this, and I know for some people it's impossible to see, but I promise I can help you see it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Until you can see that, you're going to keep waiting for whoever's causing or whatever's causing that problem to change. And that's out of your control.
Out of your control, 100%.
That's exhausting. That's defeating. Yes. And that's going to keep you stuck because they're never going to change it for you.
No, that's going to be a waste of time and energy altogether. So, Michael, we've talked about first person perspective. Of someone, of, you know, we, us, ourselves going through this and the mindset to have and what not to have and what to try to avoid and so forth. I'd like to maybe spend a minute or so just to chat about, let's say, second person, someone from the outside looking in. Okay. You know what to say, you know how to guide, you know how to navigate as a professional in what you do. Okay. But I want to go back to like when you were helping your child through depression, anxiety, and, sure. and really a rough time they were going through, right? Right. You couldn't be the fixer, right? Sure. So, and when we have a loved one that is going through something like this, I mean, you know, our heart hurts for them. You know, we wish, in a lot of cases, especially as a parent, we wish to take that pain for them. You know, and we wish we could have that lightning in the bottle, you know, that silver sure. bullet that can, at a snap of a finger, resolve everything. But that's not realistic. It's not practical thinking. And so for people who are not professionals in this space that have loved ones going through this, just give us a couple tips on how they can best support that person, because, you know, trying to look for solutions may not be the practical thing to do. I mean, what can they do to help support?
Well, the first thing that you want to do is meet the person where they are.
Yes.
Okay.
You mentioned that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Validate their voice and their feelings.
Yes.
Okay. And you, again, you're not there to solve anything,
right?
You're just there to be there with them, to let them know they're not alone with this. And maybe be extraordinarily vulnerable and share with them a time you may have felt like this too.
Yes.
So they don't think I'm the only one who's ever gone through this and who's ever felt like this. I mean, that's kind of the spiritual part of being there with them. A practical thing I always tell people is try to change your state. Okay.
Okay.
So for example, many people struggling with anxiety and depression, they can't even get out of bed.
Right.
Right. Or they may be working through extraordinary fear. Let's take someone, a college student. Okay. Many parents may be going through this with their children who develop a social anxiety. Okay. This is not, and it builds into a fear and they don't know how to address this fear. And now things are described as a fear when really it's just excitement. So the label of anxiety gets placed on things that aren't actually anxiety. It's nervousness. It's nervous energy. Okay. It could be excitement,
right?
But now everything becomes anxiety and it builds on it. So, you know, an exercise I always tell people is first, let's just try to breathe.
Right.
Okay. 3 seconds in, hold it for 3 seconds, 3 seconds out. You do that a few times. Just let's regulate your breathing, because when you're going through anxiety or a panic attack, it literally feels like there's a 100-pound weight on your chest. You can't breathe. It feels closing. And then I say, just remove yourself from whatever situation you're in, right? If you're in a room, get outside.
Yeah.
You know, if you have problems that, you know, you go to sleep with the problem, you wake up with the problem,
you,
all day long, you think about it. All you ever talk about is it, right? So now it becomes your identity.
Okay. Yeah.
Do me a favor. Go take a walk.
Yeah.
Take a walk, right? Mm-hmm. And let's place your focus elsewhere. Start noticing anything, the architecture of buildings, birds, trees, changing colors of the leaves, whatever it may be, the crispness of the air, anything else. Once you can do that, try this crazy exercise and smile at people as you go by.
Yes.
And not like a psycho smile,
but no.
It's a smile or a hello.
Yeah.
And watch the energy change, because people will smile back at you.
And
that is energy.
Yeah.
And you feel that. And before you know it, maybe you go and you pet someone's dog and now you're having a conversation about the dog, about anything. Take interest in other people. Take it off of yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because it's this dwelling, it's this focus, you have to break out of that. I mean, those are just very simple things. And the other thing I would say is take what that person's going through very seriously.
Right.
And get them to someone who can actually help them.
There we go. Yes.
You know, yeah. And it's especially in arenas like college, right? A big thing that's going on now is where they're developing students helping students.
Yes. Right?
Groups. Yes. You're not alone. Pain can feel like a prison.
Oh yeah. Right? Isolation. But
it can also be a portal. Mm-hmm. Your past doesn't define you.
Right.
But if you're brave enough to revisit it, it can refine you. Okay.
Yes.
One of the biggest shifts that I've made and that I now help others make is built on the belief that your pain is parked right next to your purpose.
Yes.
Okay. So you have to take that journey. You have to walk hand in hand with your younger self. You have to give yourself the grace to honor your pain,
right,
the space to reconcile your past, and the permission to build a belief system that serves the person you are now.
Yes.
You know, and for the purposes of this discussion, that's the road to rediscovery. And you absolutely, positively do not have to walk it alone.
Well, you've heard it right here, and it's all the same things that we have been trying to champion in the spirit of community, in the spirit of helping others. You are not alone. You don't have to suffer alone. You don't have to walk through it alone. And for the listeners' benefit, Michael just laid out the roadmap for the road to rediscovery, giving yourself grace, right? Having the strength and the bravery to revisit areas in which you think define you, but revisit with the purpose of making it refine you. Very, very important advice and tips. Michael, today, not only have you unearthed amazing anecdotes and insights, you have truly, and I mean truly, given us some value propositions, things for us to ponder, thought-provoking propositions in terms of how we look at problems, in terms of how we approach our own setbacks. And I want to thank you so much for sharing those insights, Michael. How can the listeners follow you, connect with you? How can they learn more about the great work you're doing and read deeper into these and more insights of yours?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I want to thank you again for having me on and for allowing me in this very meaningful space for your listeners, so we can all explore healing, growth, and rediscovery. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who's listening, who's been feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or quietly out of alignment, whether you're picking up the pieces after a setback or you're simply ready to reconnect with who you really are, I actually put something special together just for you. And it's my gift. It's absolutely free, no sales pitch, no fluff, just two powerful tools that I want to share that I use with my private clients to help them get unstuck and start moving forward with clarity and confidence. So first is I want to give you my Fear to Freedom formula. It's a simple, practical guide to help you break through self-doubt, overthinking, and hesitation so you can take action that actually feels good and grounded. And second, I want to invite you to your free Mastery Mindset Breakthrough Session, which is a 60-minute deep dive call with me where we'll uncover the internal patterns holding you back. We'll reframe the stories that no longer serve you and create a strategy to move you forward with intention. And I'm making it super easy to grab both gifts. Just send me a DM on Instagram, message me the word freedom to michaelshaw.mindset. It's michaelshaw.mindset. And just please take advantage of this opportunity. It comes straight from the heart. Just DM me the word freedom and I'll send them both your way completely free as my way of saying thank you for showing up today and being the kind of person who's actively seeking transformation. And together, we'll walk this road with clarity, courage, and purpose.
Absolutely beautiful, Michael. Thank you so much. What a tremendous gift for the listeners. If there's one inkling of an offer or a phrase or a concept that Michael has shared with you that resonates with you in this conversation, then you have got to take a part in what he's offering as the special gift. The Fear to Freedom formula, that is an absolute groundbreaking tool. Just the sound of it itself will get you to that next step, releasing fear and enjoying what it feels like to be free. I mean, it's all broken down in there, as well as the free Mastery Mindset Breakthrough Session that you would have with Mr. Michael Shaw personally himself. All you have to do, and we'll make sure this is all in the episode show notes, is to send Michael a DM, the word freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, and that's michaelshaw.mindset. at michaelshaw.mindset on Instagram. Once again, we will have all of those details in the episode show notes so you can take advantage of this special gift. The 1-2 gift of the formula and the mindset breakthrough session, that in and of itself is a priceless gem for your personal growth, addressing your personal growth and having a great start to addressing it for those who are just starting out. Michael, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your insights, for giving us these value propositions to think about in the days and weeks past this conversation, you know, to really think about, are we headed in the direction that we want? Okay. Have we ever taken inventory of what beliefs work for us and what no longer works for us? I mean, these are some value propositions that I think everyone would serve everyone to do, right? So, Michael, again, thanks so much for coming onto the show. I hope we can stay in touch. I truly hope that we can have you on the show at a future time as well.
Oh, it would be my pleasure. Absolutely loved my time on with you.
Oh, thank you. We equally love the time. And I have no doubt listeners will be playing this conversation over and over again to get more and more nuggets, just like anything you watch on TV, whether it's a documentary or a movie or anything. I tend to pick up a little bit more here and there if I watch it a second, third, and fourth time. So I'm a big believer in that. But hey, I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And look, you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, we're never alone. And hope is always around the corner. Always around the corner. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. And finally, you know, when it all comes down to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. But it sure feels good having you on the road with me. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Road to Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.